Hi everyone, Sane Man here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Rob, and here's what he very briefly has to say. I just put in a donation. I was wondering if you could do a video on Venshin MGTOW. His life meant so much to so many, and it appears his time is approaching to pass beyond the veil. Well, Rob, thanks for the donation as well as the topic. I recorded a video with Lamprey Milt a while ago discussing Venshin, back about 4 months ago, that I never released. I didn't want to release it because, even though I don't make any money off of advertising on YouTube, I still felt a bit sleazy drawing attention to Venshin MGTOW and making money off of it by putting it on Subscribestar. He's a MGTOW YouTuber that started about a year before myself, and he was the first MGTOW I saw that showed his face on camera on YouTube. The first video I saw was called I Am a Warning to Women, where he was driving around and enjoying life and discussing all the things that women had lost because he went his own way. We also learned that Venshin's real name now is Warren. MGTOW seems to be almost like Project Mayhem for Fight Club, where many of us in this community only have a name and death. As for this video, it's going to be mostly the one I recorded a few months ago. I could talk about the untimely demise of Venshin. 6 days ago, he was in a hospital, and his kidneys had shut off, and he was frantic to get home. So he can end his own suffering by taking care of business, as he put it, if you know what I mean. He was clearly suffering. I even heard that there were guys out there willing to rescue him from the hospital, so to speak. Unless you've ever experienced pain bad enough where you want to end it all, then you can't relate. But he was hopped up on morphine, wrapped up in blankets, and smiling. So I guess the pain couldn't have been that bad. The video with Lamprey Milt that I'm about to share covers many of the lessons Venshin MGTOW went through, and if it helps one guy avoid his fate, then Venshin's life is not in vain. As of recording this, I don't know if he's gone, but I think it's safe to say, rest in peace, Warren. The pictures of hot female mechanics all over this video are there as a tribute to him, because he was a diesel mechanic. Anyways, before I run the video, let me tell everyone about today's sponsor, Chris Whalen. He's a U.S. business tax expert serving clients in North America and abroad. The first consultation is always free, just like men going their own way. He's also a fellow MGTOW and will keep your pills red, but brings your books back to black. Reach out to Chris Whalen, CPA, today for all your personal and business accounting needs, before taking care of your sexual needs. Sponsor link is down below. Anyways, so here's the video with Venshin. Hi everyone, Sandman here. So I'm back again with Lamprey Milt, and today we're going to talk about one of the longest lasting MGTOWs out there, Venshin MGTOW. This is a video I don't think any of us really wanted to make. And it's unfortunate because a little while ago, like this is about 2 weeks ago now, Venshin MGTOW came on his YouTube channel and basically said that he has about a month to live. That's what he's saying. So it's kind of sad news. And I mean, yeah. We weren't expecting to make this video. I mean, honestly, everybody that I know thought he was getting better. I mean, he was looking very healthy. His skin color was great.
He was being optimistic.
Yeah, like he was talking about how for those who don't know it, he had a stage 4 colon cancer, and he was talking about how he had basically a tumor in his liver, and he said that wasn't like doing anything anymore, so he thought he'd beaten that, and then he also had colon surgery to remove the cancer there. So from that perspective, like, you know, everyone thought that he was doing better, and I guess it came back, or it spread someplace else. He didn't really make details mentioned in the last video that I saw. So yeah, out of all the cancers that you can get, it's pretty much, you know, colon cancer, pancreatic cancer, which is the worst, and then esophageal is pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And you know, those all have the highest mortality rate. So I mean, if he caught the colon cancer earlier, I talked to a couple people and they said if he had just done some colonoscopies and if they'd caught it earlier, they could have cut it out. So that's one method of prevention that you can definitely take. And now colonoscopies, as I've had one last year, are not very pleasant. I mean, they basically go up there after you've basically shit yourself for like 2 days. And you know, got to take this weird solution that kind of just clears you out. And then what they do is they go in with a camera, they blow you up like a balloon. So they basically shove a hose up your ass, and then they basically step on the pump and they pump you up like a fucking human balloon. And then they go in with a camera and a scope and kind of like check all the areas to make sure there's no, issues with your colon. And if they find a polyp or if they find something that's abnormal, they'll either do a biopsy or they'll remove it. So again, it's not pleasant, but you know, getting a colonoscopy every 2 or 3 years could save your life. So what do you think?
Now that I'm in my 30s, I'm so apprehensive about seeing a doctor. I had a situation with my stomach where I was cramping up and my gut felt really sore, and went to the doctor, and I told him a little bit about my family history, how my godmother, my mom's sister, died of stomach cancer at the age of 55, and his eyes lit up like, we need to shove a camera down your throat and see what's going on. I'm like, no, I'm fine. He's like, no, you have to get this done. If you have family history with stomach cancer, and my grandfather died of stomach cancer too, long before I even lived at the same age of 55. I was so scared. I was petrified, but you shouldn't be afraid. You need to get these things done. And as you know, straight men, masculine men who are stoic, the last thing we ever want to do is to be told we're sick and we don't want to go visit doctors when we have to see the doctor. Look, it's part of living. It's part of life. It's part of getting older. And when you're especially at 40 and even 50, the rate at seeing a doctor should be increasing as you get older, It's not like when you're 20 and you can just walk it off and not think anything of it. It's very important to do
checkups. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we eat things that we're not supposed to. Like, getting back to Venture MGTOW, like, I posted on his channel, and he basically said that if he had to do things over again, that he wouldn't have drank the Mountain Dew drinks that he had, because he thinks, you know, had to do with aspartame. But I honestly think it had more to do with obesity and being overweight, and how, like, fat hangs around our organs and it promotes inflammation, and we don't even know.
You called me.
Well, yeah, like, today. Tell everybody your weight. Tell everybody your weight.
I'm 180 pounds and 5'8". 5'8", 180 pounds.
So before I had my mishap and my allergy to every known imaginable food except for, like, a handful of foods, I was 185 pounds, 5'9". Okay, so if I basically got down to about 150, which is way too skinny for me, and now I'm back up to about 164, 165, which is about 24 BMI. So that's what you want to be. If you're 25 BMI, you're on the border of being overweight. And then if you're from 29, 30, and, you know, then you're on the border of being obese. So
are you calling me a fat fuck right now?
I'm calling you a Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man, okay? So just get off the ding dongs, get off the couch, and start drinking water instead of beer, you fat bastard. Come on.
Well, Vention was quite big when I first became acquaintances with Vention. He was a bit hefty. I mean, he looked like a guy who's 50. He's got his belly fat. You know, he's probably eating fucking hot dogs and, you know, shooting the shit. But also maybe what he did for a living, which was being a diesel mechanic, may have played a part in him getting cancer. If you're around those type of fumes, I know I used to work on diesel engines. I remember my coworker saying, hey, listen, you better wear a mask when working with that hydraulic fluid. I was working with calibrating fluid. And calibrating fluid is a very fine mist. And you don't realize that it can actually go through your skin if you're not wearing proper gloves, you're not wearing proper masks, you can inhale that. So I'm wondering if maybe that played into a factor along with him being obese and obviously not seeing the doctor. I think it was kind of a couple different things that were going on that factored into him getting
cancer.
Well, look,
he was eating donuts at work. And he was eating, you know, things he wasn't supposed to be eating. And I mean, fumes would affect your lungs. That would make more sense, right? It wouldn't necessarily affect your colon. So, you know, people who smoke, they get lung cancer. So you'd think that was a big contributing factor to it. Again, I don't know. I'm not a cancer expert, but I mean, that just seems to be like the rational thing. So, you know, and again, he basically said, you know, these are the things I would have done differently. I would have lost weight. I wouldn't have eaten these horrible foods. I would have been on a keto diet. Now, this is the thing that people don't realize. They say these things after the fact.
But you know, like I used to be like overweight and borderline obese, and I was like, I was just eating everything imaginable. I'd go out with friends and they'd be like, dude, you got to slow down. Like, what are you doing? You're just like wolfing this stuff down. Like, stop. Like, I can't help it. These nachos are so good. And I would eat like the whole plate of nachos, right?
When did you, let me ask you something, because you're a little bit older than me. At what age did you start gaining weight and realize that maybe I should slow down on the
Well, that's the thing.
nachos?
Like, okay, so I was 165 pounds all the way up till I was like 25, 26, 27. And then over the next 9, 10 years, I'd gain maybe 2 pounds a year. So, like, slowly with time, you gain the weight. You don't even notice. You just like, oh, I'm getting older. I look different. And then you're like, you see old photos of yourself back when I was, like 20 pounds heavier. And I'm like, dear God, like, I look like a completely different person. But it's not just the fat, it's also the types of food that you eat. Like, if you eat sugar and you eat like grains, what happens is it causes inflammation around your throat. It did for me. So it looked like my face was all puffy. And now my face looks normal, right? So it's not, it had nothing to do with, where the weight was. It had to do with just the types of food that I was eating. So if you're on a keto diet, or if Venchin cut out the carbs, then that could affect, why he looked so healthy. He looked so healthy, right? So, and the scary thing about what's happening with him is, Hammerhand MGTOW just went and met up with him. Again, this is being recorded 4 days after they had their meeting, and they were driving around in a car, and they cut it up into four different videos. And I didn't realize this, but like Hammerhand is like, he put on a lot of weight. Like, I don't know if he put on a lot of weight or if he was just like larger to begin with, but I think that if the two of them can talk, that that's seriously something they should talk about, like him losing that weight. Because to be honest with you, because he's also a fellow G.I. Joe figure collector, I don't want him, his G.I. Joe figures digging him 6 feet under at some point. So it's just, I think this is something that a lot of us in the manosphere have to talk about. Because there's also another guy, Archangel, and he basically had, he died of cancer as well. So, I think that, this whole stereotype of men dying sooner because they don't have a wife or because they don't have a female influence in their life, I think in some ways that's true. Because like you said, you didn't want to go for the test, right? But, I think that, if you don't look after yourself, at least if we have a community that tell each other, hey, you got to go do this, I think that's better than nothing.
Well, let me interject here. I think one of the great things that Venchin did was he uploaded that video on the things that he could have and should have done differently when he first got diagnosed with cancer, where he says he should have, obviously lose that weight and then the low doses of chemo. I know he was really apprehensive about chemotherapy. Totally agree with him. I can tell you many horror stories about chemotherapy and how barbaric it is. And how much sicker you get when you start doing chemotherapy, going to Sloan Kettering and things like that. So it's important for us to listen to him and, take notes in case one of us ever get diagnosed with something similar. I thought that was really cool for him to open up and talk about that because when you, let's say, if you have a relative that is dying of cancer, the last thing you really want to talk to them about is, well, what could have you done differently? How do you feel? Do you think this, that, or the other thing would have expanded? Your lifespan would have been a little bit longer. So those things are important. Again, it's uncomfortable for us to really have that heart to heart with someone who is in fact dying, and for Venchin to get out there, tell thousands of people on what he would have done differently. That is so important for us in the
Yeah, I
MGTOW
mean,
community.
that's something that most people never tell you, right? I think so. He also said he didn't get the chemo at first because the survival rate for people with chemo and survival rate without for people without chemo with his type of cancer was not all that different. So he didn't get any chemo, but he said if he got the low dose chemo, then that would have actually been something better. So I think that's something to take away from all this is the like if you get cancer, what you want to do is you want to look at the survival rates for your cancer with and without chemo. And if the survival rate is an extra 2% without chemo, you're like, wait a minute. Do I really want to suffer through like radiation burns? Like I've just walked out of Chernobyl with my ass hanging out, Or do I actually just want to like avoid this and maybe take low dose chemo or take no chemo at all, right? So, you know, will the last 2 years of my life be a lot better, you know, if I don't look like Uncle Fester, you know, instead of you know, like keeled over and like a walking skeleton from all the chemo? I don't know. I mean, that's something you got to ask yourself.
One of the most heartbreaking stories I was ever told was by my coworker whose father died of pancreatic cancer. And as soon as he started doing the chemo treatments, he put a paper bag over his head and put a picture of himself before he had cancer on the paper bag. So he didn't want any of his relatives to see what he looked like while he was dying, because he didn't want that to be the last image of him that they all remembered. I thought that was really moving, really touching and sad in a lot of sense. But in Vengeance's case, you know, I hate to say it, but he looks really good compared to someone that would have gone through with all those treatments. I really don't think he would even be able to upload as much as he did with the stage 4 cancer that he had if it wasn't for the fact that he did not do the
chemo. I know someone who died. The oldest MGTOW I know, he was in his 90s and he died from colon cancer. And again, if he had gotten it screened, probably would have caught it in time, but he didn't. He was kind of averse to doctors. But again, 93, 94 years old. I mean, how much more life do you really want at the end of the day, right? So, but again, he wasn't married. So that's why he lived so long, you know? So it's kind of like one of those things. And, you know, speaking of like women and being a bad influence, so they're good influence in the sense that they'll push you to go to the doctor, but they're a bad influence because they'll stress you out. And Vention basically has a sister named Joyce, and the last few months she's been living with him and his dad and stressing him out. And, you know, Vention was like near death, and then all of a sudden his sister moves out, and all of a sudden his health improves dramatically. So I think what people don't realize is that stress makes a huge, huge difference in terms of not only your quality of life, in terms of like your emotional health, but also emotional and mental health is one thing, but also stress impacts your immune system. So for example, if I don't like try to recharge for like 30 minutes, an hour, maybe an hour and a half a day, my skin condition gets worse. It flares up. So what I've decided now is like, if I can consecutively improve my skin condition over like months, then my skin gets much thinner and it's not painful anymore. So that tells me that like stress is influencing my immune system. So if you've got cancer and it's stage 4 cancer and you've got this like stressful sister there, you know, suppressing your immune system, stealing your stuff, like you got to get her the fuck out of there. Like she shouldn't have been there at all. You know, you're going your own way. Why do you need a sister there? It wasn't like she was taking care of him or anything. You know,
she's trying to get
probably
Bitcoin.
Right. Like it's, you know, horrible. You know, like, I don't know. Like, what else can you say?
Well, talking about me having that stomach issue, it had to do with stress from work. And as soon as I left New York, left that job, guess what? My stomach problem, gone.
Yeah. So it's, what was it, like IBS? Or was it just like...
Gastritis. Some shit like
look,
that?
But yeah, I've had gastritis before. When I did, they checked my stomach. Yeah, and... Like, look, stress affected my immune system to the point where I could no longer eat anything. Like, in terms of my allergies, I never had allergies before. I started making my content, working on my channel every day, and within, like, 2-3 years, I had allergies to almost everything, and I didn't know what was going on. So, look, autoimmune issues start up when you have stress. So, you have to really control your stress or limit it as much as possible. And... So, you know, and stress will cause cancer too, so you have to be really careful. But, you know, like...
So let's talk about Vention the man, though. Now, to be quite honest, just because of his proximity to us in the manosphere, I never really watched that many of his videos. I subscribed to him. He's one of the first MGTOW guys I ever followed. I knew him through MGTOW expat Luke. I don't know if you remember him, but he's long gone off of... off of YouTube. I remember him going to Cambodia
and returning back freaked out. He couldn't handle it. Yeah, that was funny.
So that's kind of how I knew him. Never got to chat with him. He was apprehensive about talking to me and I am for one reason or another, but no hard feelings about it. I was really moved with him going to Mexico, trying to get those treatments in another country, him enjoying himself, traveling a little bit, even though it was Mexico, I was in Cambodia at that time. And I played that video of his when he was walking with his umbrella, talking about, you know, this is pretty the end of the road for me, guys. It really moved me, really, truly moved me. I played it more than once.
Yeah, I mean, it was really sad to see. Like, I mean, from my experience with him, I chatted with him a few times. He sent me like a fraction of a Bitcoin back in the day. And then what ended up happening is my fraction of a Bitcoin was in an exchange. He tried to contact me and tell me to get it off of there, but like I didn't. And then I lost like 0.6 Bitcoin, which is now worth, I don't know, like what is that? That's like almost like $30,000.
Right. Don't think about it, man. I lost Bitcoins in a wallet once. I bought it at $200.
He even pointed it out to me. He's like, hey, I gave you the Bitcoin. You lost. It's like, dude, I'm not Alex Jones. I didn't lose $500 million in Bitcoin. You know, like he was given like 10,000 Bitcoin.
He bought every dip. Yeah. I give him so much credit. When that thing went down like 3,700 or 3,500, what was it, in 2018, he held strong. He did not give
but,
up
you know,
on that
the thing.
Man.
The thing that really gets me in all this is like God is a prankster. Like Venchin gets all of this Bitcoin and is like retirement and he could do anything he wants and then he gets cancer. It's like, what the fuck? Like, I'm sorry. But that's just messed. Like, you know, that's when you know the universe literally, like, the universe knows. Like, it's going to fuck you over. It's going to find a way to fuck you over just when you're, like, free to do what you really want to do. You basically run into all these, like, roadblocks.
The most important thing is he's still living his life. That's the most important thing. He's not sulking over it. He's still staying optimistic. I mean, obviously, him sharing his ordeal through social media, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes and how he's, you know, being cathartic about what he's going through, accepting his fate. But I think it's really cool for him to share his experience on that level. I don't know if I could do what he's doing. I probably would just become, you know, locked in a room and rubbing a rosary bead, but it's really nice for him to share his experiences on such a level, especially the last couple of years.
Yeah, no, I mean, the first video I ever saw from him was this one where he was driving around in a truck and ranting about like how he hadn't been on a date and how he hadn't like had a relationship for a really long time. And then, you know, I could see videos of him in his garden, working on his garden, or, you know, he was working on that RV for a while. And like, so he was doing what he wanted to do. Like, he didn't have people, you know, telling him like how to live or, you know, he was free. So, you know, he'd probably, if you think about it, he'd probably enjoy that 15 years of freedom as opposed to like 15 years of like marital like slavery.
So your ex-wife calling you, I told you should have went to the doctor, man.
Yeah, and then you have to yell back, you know, I wouldn't have been sick if it hadn't been yelling at me so much, right? Like, he's got to like, say that back to her. You know, it's like, you always blame me. I'm never to blame, right? Like, she's, you know, women are never to blame for anything. It's just crazy.
You know what it is? He's an average guy living his life day to day, just trying to be peaceful. I mean, he never said anything really all that controversial as compared to you or me. He had a positive message. Love your life and go your own way.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I mean, like, I mean, some people are saying like he could still avoid all sugar and all carbs and he could still pull himself out of this. I don't know. I hope so. Maybe if he's listening, that's pretty much the most interesting advice I heard Venchin on your YouTube channel in the comment section. Someone said avoid all carbs. So that would mean just go on a frigging carnivore diet for the next however few weeks, months, whatever, and just see what happens. Just go and eat chicken and fish. And if you're at zero carbs, you might have a miraculous recovery. At least that's the last experiment that I would do at this point if I were in your shoes.
Well, it was funny. He mentioned something about a doctor saying that your diet has nothing to do with the cancerous tumors.
Yeah, it's almost part, like, okay. That's, first of all, I knew an oncologist and she would tell me, she's like, okay, the first thing that happens when they come to my office and they're like, you got cancer. Then she goes, you got to lose the weight. Number one. Number two, she says, here's a diet guide. Don't eat these things. And she's like, they're all sugar, right? And so if a oncologist is giving that advice out, you know, like, that's what you got to do, right? So, and that same oncologist, I asked her, I'm like, I knew somebody had esophageal cancer. And I'm like, well, can they fight it? And she didn't say anything. She just shook her head left and right. And then I asked another question. She just kept shaking her head left and right. And then a couple years later, I asked again about somebody who had colon cancer and stage three, stage four. And she's like shaking her head left and right. Again, it's just like, you know, and you know, there were certain cancers that she could fight. And, you know, like when you hear stuff like that from somebody who works in that industry, you know, like they will tell you like, it's done. Like you can't, like, they're not going to give you stupid advice. They're not going to, you know, tell you a lie. They might tell those people, you know, something to make them feel comfortable or better at the time. But when they're talking to other people about it, they're going to be truthful because there's no point in lying. Right.
What's your take on other forms of medical treatment? Like what's the one, water therapy? I forgot the terminology for it, or basically not listening to mainstream medicine.
Look,
or doctors.
The ancient Greeks got it right when they said, if you want to heal yourself, it's usually disease is caused by something, not usually a lack of something. Although, you know, people have nutritional deficiencies, so that's not always true. But what you do is you basically, the ancient Greeks, I can't remember the name of the ancient Greek who said this, he's like, you just eliminate things from your diet until you start getting better. And that's been my experience. I'm like, I've cut certain things out of my diet and conditions just kind of, they disappeared, but they're managed. They're not there anymore. Like I'm talking to you and 3-4 years ago, I'd be coughing up like my sinuses would be packed with mucus from just having a conversation. So again, and all it came down to was cutting grains out of my diet, which is sugar. So, you know, it's diet is probably the most important thing, even more than exercise. Exercise is kind of like for fat people who are too lazy to have self-control, right? So they're like, well, I can still eat anything I want. I just go on the treadmill for 5 hours. You know what ends up happening? They consume more calories than they burn on the treadmill. And then they make themselves feel better because they're on the treadmill.
Wow. Okay, wow, I didn't even think of that. It's little things. I found myself doing walks now that I'm not commuting to New York City, doing 10 to 15,000 steps a day. Now my job is I can just get my car and drive to work. I'm only doing 4,000 steps a day. I'm like, damn, I really should start walking again, little by little, you know, stretching, going to the gym, cutting back on carbs. Very important. I cut sugar out quite a bit. Can't with bread just because, you know, I am Italian. So bread is kind of mandatory.
We should talk about. So if I don't walk at least 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 steps a day, then my health issues start getting worse. So I don't know if it just accelerates the blood flow in the body so that, you know, immune cells, like white blood cells, can get to where they need to go, or if it like why that happens. But I have to do that. If I miss like a day of like walking for like, you know, whatever, how many miles that I've set, like 3,000, 4,000 steps, I'm going to be like, oh my God, like this is not good. Like I have to like do this or I'm going to suffer for it. So I have to de-stress. I have to avoid certain foods. I have to walk a certain distance. Like, you know, the healthiest, you know, you see Vention walking, and that's important because that probably extended his life without him even knowing it.
He does a lot of walking. Each is to his own. I think genetics plays into a huge factor of a lot of things. We're talking about obesity. My grandfather's 86 and he's morbidly obese and he's been that way for 35 years. He has heart problems. Now he doesn't have cancer. The person I'm named after, his brother, dropped dead of a heart attack while shoveling snow at the age of 76 or 77. And he ate pasta every single day of his life. And my grandfather says, well, he ate pasta every single day. So naturally, he was going to drop dead from eating pasta every single day. And he was also morbidly obese.
We're going to end it there. So, Vention, if you're listening, thanks for all the great content you put out, and I'm hoping you're still around. We're going to try to get this one out in the next like week or two, so we can get some feedback from you. So, and I'm glad Joyce is gone. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.